What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Trouble with the Snip podcast. Scheduling conflicts, so we weren't able to go yesterday. We were both able to find a little bit of time today, though, which, I mean, I guess a short period of time is all you really need to talk about everything that is happening as Michigan State just got back to practice yesterday, and then you throw in Michigan getting pushed off just at least 2 weeks in general from the state because a member of the athletic department, which I don't even think it's a member of the basketball team, tested positive with the new strand of coronavirus, the good stuff. So there's not a ton to get to today. Michigan obviously has bounced back and has played really well. Michigan State, meanwhile, back in action, it looks like Thursday against Rutgers. And prior to Michigan State and Rutgers, Michigan State needed that win, and they decimated what was at the time a top 15 team. Now all of a sudden, it's looking like Rutgers is, well, Rutgers.
Yeah, interesting stuff. To kind of go off what you were saying, it was not basketball related, the COVID stuff. So I guess that would be good news. I'm not sure. Makes it kind of interesting, right? Because I know there's a lot of rules out there. If you have eight players at least, I've noticed that's been popping up a lot in recent discussion. I look, it's for me, to be honest, Tyler. It's painful. It's tough because Michigan's had a really good year. I mean, they have played well, not just all the wins, just the way they're winning. And look, we talked about this with Michigan State prior to this happening, where I thought it was going to be an issue being off. Well, here we are with Michigan, and it might be an issue as well for them. So, look, I think the main thing that you can get out of this season, this is what I'm just going to go with this, because it's an interesting one. I think as long as we can get to March, and I it's hard for me to say this, Tyler, but I could care less what happens in the Big Ten. As long as, we, Michigan State and Michigan, can get to March and be in March Madness, and everyone can stay safe, and we won't have any cases then, great, because that's the ultimate goal anyway, right? So, it's a race to the finish line, and COVID is one of the obstacles.
Yeah, and it's quite the obstacle indeed. Gabe Brown out until February as he tested positive. There was an unnamed assistant. It looks like that name has circulated who tested positive for Michigan State as well. The rumor, anyways, for the time being, is it's Dane Fife. And look, I feel like Tom Izzo gives his assistants as much responsibility as anybody else in the country does, and so I feel like this is a very big loss, especially because he's a perimeter defense guy, and the perimeter defense has been shaky for a Michigan State team that was absolutely loaded at that position. You don't know if Josh Langford's going to be playing either. So that's two shooting guards. And now you're down to like Rockets almost going to have to play a full 40.
Yeah, and they're going to need him to play well. I mean, when you lose Gabe Brown, that's a guy that has had really good moments defensively, comes off the bench and hits shots, and has played well at times this year. Mark Rocketbaugh has to play better. I mean, we talked about it a lot off air. He has to be a guy that really comes into his own during the home stretch here. This is the home stretch. I mean, you get closer to March, you want to see him play to his capability. He's a key piece. I mean, he just is. I mean, when you lose Cassius, we knew coming in, we thought this would be the guy that could step up and be the leader of this team, possibly him and Aaron Henry. And both guys have had moments where we question their leadership, right? I mean, they're probably the two most talented players on the team, in my opinion, as far as skill and athleticism and being able to score the basketball. So it's going to be imperative that he plays well. Very tough game to go against Rutgers after this break. I mean, every game's going to be tough in the Big Ten after a break. I think you'll see that with Michigan. I don't know who Michigan plays. I think it was Illinois, I believe. I'd have to go back because it's such a crazy situation here. I know Michigan State, I thought that could be their game, but that game is postponed. So four games Michigan misses. Michigan State has missed three, correct? Or have they missed?
I've not really kept count, to be completely honest. You know, I've looked ahead maybe a week at a time, but lately, I mean, over the past couple of weeks, it's just been one of those things like, you know, when Michigan State says it's go time, it's go time. That's when I'll listen. And if right
I
now,
think it's, I think Iowa, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois were the three for sure. I don't think there's anyone else. So
yeah,
I think that's kind of, because I thought Monday, wasn't it? I think Illinois was supposed to be, well, no, last week. So yeah, I mean, maybe this was Thursday, I think. So yeah, this is quite the ordeal having to go back to the schedule to figure out how many games you missed. But I'll tell you, Tyler, I think this is going to really hurt Michigan. I think this is going to affect them big time. I mean, without any practice, no momentum to continue to build on. I think you're starting over. The one thing I say that could be a positive is guys like Davis were banged up. Guys like Eli Brooks have been banged up a little bit. Maybe they get these 2 weeks of healing, but nothing replaces confidence, you know, and continuing to play well. And man, they just played so well. So this will be really interesting to see what they do after the break.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to hold their own, though. I mean, when you look at it, we didn't know how they were going to respond after getting ran off the floor by Minnesota. We didn't know. I mean, I thought Purdue sucked, and I know they beat Michigan State, but look, that was a game Michigan State should have won. It's just a matter of putting anybody else on Travion Williams besides Joey Hauser, who looks like he's trying to like give a foot of cushion whenever he's guarding down low. And I think it's a situation that, you know, Michigan will be fine because they came in and they did what they were supposed to do against Purdue after losing to Minnesota. So I think that they'll be fine. Michigan State versus Rutgers. Look, Ron Harper's a beast. Michigan State, one of the few teams, if not the only team, to shut him down this season. And Geo Baker. Can we talk about just how disappointing Geo Baker has been this year? Because he was supposed to be the guy, you know, and he was the guy the last 2 years, the last 15 years at Rutgers, it feels like. And now it looks like he conceded to Harper. And he's completely disappeared.
Well, yeah, and Young comes off the bench at point guard sometimes, also plays the two, and he seems to play better sometimes. I mean, they just had a big win, and they looked really good, I mean, as a team. So, I, you know,
which
they
is
had
good
a couple pieces that played well.
Because it snaps that massive losing streak they've had pretty much since they lost to Michigan State.
Yeah, they're just – it's just like many teams in this conference. I mean, every single night you play, you know, it's going to be tough. I mean, I would say Penn State is a team that has not shown much flash of being very good, and that's maybe it. I mean, you know, Maryland's had some bad moments, but then they've had some upset wins. So, you know, I think that the conference all around is just so good. And you know, a break and then playing against Rutgers, I don't think that could be a positive in any way. And, you know, Michigan will run into the same thing when they have their next game in a couple weeks. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Like I said, I think you got to focus on just getting through this rest of this month and head into February and try to get as many games in as possible and stay safe. And then head into March hoping like, yeah, let's see if we can have a normal Big Ten tournament. Let's see if we can have some normalcy in March Madness. And that's what you're hoping for. You know, the one thing I will say that's a positive for Michigan, the more they don't play, the more they stay highly ranked. I mean, you're noticing that where Villanova didn't play forever, and they've been ranked number three forever. So, I mean, that says a lot. I mean, Michigan is ranked four now, which is very impressive considering where we thought they would be.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to sit around at 13-1 for two more weeks, ranked number four, while some teams lose. And you know, it's funny, I listen to local stuff all the time, and it's just so funny what these guys say, and it seems to be so biased half the time, whether it's Michigan or Michigan State.
Right.
And you know, some of these guys say the season doesn't matter. And look, the season only matters when you're winning. That's what's happening with COVID. When you're winning games, the season matters. Like right now, I'm like, this season really matters. We got to get this through. You know, I feel like an Ohio State football fan right now. Like, hey, can we give Michigan the Big Ten championship today? They are the best team right now. So positively, for a while, they'll be the best team in the Big Ten because there's no game to play.
Yeah, and I look, this season does matter. I mean, Michigan State's tournament streak, Tom Izzo's tournament streak is on the line. And so Rutgers, for the second time, it feels like I'm saying this, could be that springboard to, maybe just a little bit of confidence, and especially if you can do it without a couple of your key pieces, because I think Langford's still up in the air regarding a couple things, and then you throw in Brown. So it comes down to Watts. And obviously, Hogard running the show at point guard, you're going to see more Foster Moyer than you have over the last few games, which seems like forever ago. And then obviously, you have a plethora of bigs. Maybe you slide Malik Hall down to that three spot to kind of help out there. Because look, ultimately, that's where I thought he was going to be at the beginning of the year. But yeah, that's really all there is to talk about basketball. Just like, how's the break going to affect Michigan State? As they're getting ready to come off it, how's the break going to affect Michigan? As they're getting ready to go into one. And there's not too much else to
Right.
talk about there. But a Michigan alum is going to his 10th Super Bowl. And we kind of joked around like, guy, you know what? Henny could actually lead Kansas City to the Super Bowl. That would potentially be it, but turf toe, just screw it. Patrick Mahomes looked phenomenal, and well, this is a very interesting matchup. Couple key Wolverines on either side of the coin, and then you have a key piece in Tampa, at least, Kansas City. They have Le'Veon Bell, but he's kind of fallen down the depth chart with how hard Williams has been running lately. Well,
Yeah.
there's Michigan's going to play a pivotal role in who wins this game.
There's no question. Obviously, with Tom Brady, I mean, it's going to be a conversation. You know how I feel about the whole thing. I don't like to dive into this whole Tom Brady fandom, fanboy Michigan attitude.
Well, because
But
people
yeah,
were
it's going to
rooting
be
for Drew
messy too.
Henson anyways over
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about that. So we're blue in the face. Michigan fans don't want to because it's the only thing that we get to celebrate right now with this program is we do have possibly, arguably, the greatest quarterback of all time who played at our school. I mean, that's pretty much all we have right now.
look,
So
I don't think it is an argument right now. Give it a handful of years. Give
I
it a
think the thing
handful of
about
years, and I think it's going to be Mahomes.
yeah. No, I mean, honestly, if I had to pick a quarterback, no matter what day of the week it was, no matter turf toe or not, or whatever, I'm picking Patrick Mahomes as my quarterback over anybody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I just think the thing, you know, when we talk about the teams, you know, and we talk about our Michigan State players, I mean, Le'Veon Bell, you know, when they added him, my first thought was, oh my God, another weapon for this guy. He doesn't need any more weapons. And you know, you wonder if there's a gadget play they may have set up for him, you know, a throw out of the backfield. I mean, he's had a couple little tiny moments, but he obviously with Williams and how well he's
And
ran, you know, Bell
Edwards-Helaire,
has been kind of a non-factor. Yeah, I mean, Helaire's just great too. So interesting for Bell because, gosh, I mean, this guy is, they were talking about him as the best running back in the league not too long ago. I mean, that's just incredible how things can change. But obviously, Tom Brady, look, he finds a way to get the job. And I think the thing that Tom does better than anything else is he's just a great leader. I mean, I think guys enjoy playing with him. He has a way of uplifting a team, uplifting camaraderie, a competitive nature that is definitely, I'd say, second to none. And I think that definitely has pushed this team forward. He makes the right plays at the right times, whereas as Aaron Rodgers, he doesn't make all the big time plays at the moment. You've got to have it. Like Brady's last throw in the first half, that's a huge play. And those are the throws that Mahomes are going to make, you know, that Tom Brady's will make. Very few guys can do those things. And Tom Brady's one of those guys. Frank Clark obviously will have a huge piece to that defense. He's been very instrumental in that team. So, you know, there's a couple guys. But I think that, you know, I would be shocked if Tampa won. I mean, I really would. I don't think that anybody can match up with that Chiefs offense. And Tampa's defense has had some good moments, though. So it'll be interesting.
See, I think we should break this down more on the Labcast. Because, you know, there's a lot of talk that we can definitely go into for the Super Bowl. And look, that's a special occasion. That's a special day. I think we did a Super Bowl special version last year. Can't remember 100%. But, I mean, look, there's just so much to talk about. I don't know if it's going to be that simple. It ultimately depends on the quarterbacks aren't going to be the deciding factor in my mind. Obviously, will one of them make that play that seals the deal? Yeah, I mean, they're quarterbacks. That's what they do. You know, they'll make the play or they'll blow it, you know. But
Well, I think Mahomes will. I don't think Tom Brady will make or break it for them. I think that Mahomes can.
Well, hear
I
me
think
out.
He can win the game by
hear
himself.
Hear me out. Eric Fisher tore his Achilles. And, you know, I mean, sticking with the state schools, he is the former number one overall pick in the NFL draft from Central Michigan. And, look, he tore his Achilles. You already have Dauvernay Tardif. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I know he's a very good right guard for Kansas City, who opted out of the season to fight COVID on the front lines up in Canada. And then Mitchell Schwartz looks questionable, or doubtful, rather, according to Andy Reid. That's three starters on the offensive line from last season. That's a huge loss, especially when you saw how Jason Pierre-Paul was getting after Aaron Rodgers in the absence of David Bakhtiari on Aaron Rodgers' blind side. So losing Eric Fisher is big time because Jason Pierre-Paul, look, man, he's a firecracker. You never know when it's going to go off. And I think that you factor him in, and then, you know, I talked about Michigan State and maybe having a pivotal piece opposite JPP. You have William Golston, who's a former Spartan, and then a former near and dear to her heart Detroit Lion and Dominic Kung Su. Like, those are some guys I can get after the quarterback. Plus Shaq Barrett. Like, this is a really, really good front for Tampa that has a lot of good pass rushers that throwing in Kansas City's injuries on the offensive line, I think that's where the game's going to be decided. If Kansas City can replace their offensive line, you're obviously not going to replace two guys like Schwartz and Fisher in full. But if you can just do a solid job, the last thing you want to do is give Patrick Mahomes time. And if you can give him a little bit, you know, that's going to be over. Kansas City's going to win this game because they were kicking the crap out of Tampa until they let their foot off the gas when they played during the regular season.
They just have so many good, you know, matchups that are in their favor, really, against anybody. And I think my point of the whole quarterback thing was, is when you watch Brady over all these years, I mean, he is the epitome of longevity. We know that. This guy's played, you know, forever. He's 43. He makes the right plays at the right time. Patrick Mahomes is a guy where the whole game, I mean, he'll make plays the whole game. And you basically just give him the ball and you run something that could be misdirection, and he'll throw a no-look underhand pass. And when you get close to the goal line, the threats that he provides as a thrower is just incredible. I mean, I've never seen a guy make so many different throws look so easy. And I think that's where I go to my point was, I think Patrick Mahomes will win or lose the game, where I just don't think Tom Brady will have to be in that position. Because, yeah, they got a D-line that's pretty good that needs to contain Mahomes in that offense. Whereas I don't think Tom Brady can
I am
win that
intrigued by the
game.
injury situation in Tampa's secondary because Antoine Winfield's out again.
Yeah, they were down. I mean, the two
guys. Yeah,
they
were down both their starting safeties. Which, by the way, speaking as a Detroit Lions fan, goes to show you how overrated Aaron Rodgers is. The fact that Tom Brady gave him the ball three straight times off of interceptions. You're missing your two starting safeties, and Aaron Rodgers only got 3 points out of it in a big moment. Another.
Can we just say that Aaron Rodgers is a little. Yeah, can we just say this about Aaron Rodgers? Look, I'll never be the guy to say he's not great because he's great, but I think that we have to start looking at different guys to throw in that top tier because, you know, he just doesn't seem to get it done. And you know, this says a lot. You know, they keep ripping the coach for not going for it on fourth down. I think that says a lot about his confidence in Aaron Rodgers isn't that high. I mean, because I don't think there's any way possible that if you switch roles and Tampa's down eight, and you're at the 7 or 8 yard line like they were, or six or whatever it was, there's no way in hell that they weren't going to go for that for Brady. I mean, they would have went for it with Brady. They definitely would have went for it with Patrick Mahomes. That's not even an argument. I think that says a lot.
Your defense made plays in the second half for Green Bay. Your defense made plays. You picked off Tom Brady three times. So you made those plays in the second half. Tom Brady is not technically getting the ball Leonard Fournette is. And so you can load up the box a little bit, but you still have to be careful of all the weapons Tampa has with or without Antonio Brown. And then, look, Aaron Rodgers wasn't making great decisions. You know, he was 2 for 9 in the red zone. He had an opportunity earlier in that series where they decided to take the points that he could have just rolled out to the right and scored like he had a lane. And, you know, no one said anything about it, so I just kind of kept my mouth shut. And then finally I had somebody say, dude, he could have ran off to the right. And I was like, okay, you know what? I did see it correctly. I was a little preoccupied. But so, look, I mean, I think it was the right call. And, you know, look, to me, I'm going to break this down. There are... And I know you've got to get going, so we can kind of end on this. To me, there's a...
Well, I got a good 10 minutes, because I think this could be really fun to our show. But go ahead. I got 10 minutes, and I think
there's
this
a lot
fun.
Of comparisons that you can make between Aaron Rodgers and LeBron James.
Yes, okay? Thank
so,
you.
Number one, both of them, otherworld talents. To see what LeBron is absolutely capable of doing and to see what Aaron Rodgers is absolutely capable of doing, look, it's a blessing for any sports fan. Number two, they are considered the greatest of all time by a minority of people. Not a huge minority, but a minority. LeBron fans think LeBron is the greatest of all time. Packer fans, and you start to see some analysts say, oh, no one can do what Rodgers was ever able to do, blah, blah, blah. So you have that as well. You know, they're both considered the greatest of all time. Number three, they don't win as much as they should. Obviously, LeBron gets more wins. But LeBron gets more wins. But it's a situation where he accounts for 20% of what is out there. Aaron Rodgers obviously doesn't account for that amount because not only is he one position, you know, he's one position on one side of the ball. So that those numbers are skewed a little bit, and so that's why LeBron's rings are equivalent, more or less, to Rodgers' ring. The next comparison is,
I agree.
Look, they both have moments where they did not show up when it mattered. And you can look at the Dallas Mavericks series, LeBron getting blown by Jason Terry a billion times. And you can look at how Dwayne Wade was the best player. You can look at last year's NBA Finals where you could actually question whether or not you should have been the Finals MVP because when Antonio Davis had a bad game, that was when the Lakers lost. When Anthony Davis had a good game, that was when the Lakers won. And his games were about the same, maybe a little bit better than LeBron, especially from an all-around perspective. But they both have moments as well where they just shrink at times. And they put up the massive numbers, but they shrink. And you saw that with Aaron Rodgers not running for it. And you saw that with him being 2 for 9 in the red zone. And you saw that last year against San Francisco where he didn't dive on that ball. And you saw that with LeBron when he threw Kevin Love to guard Kevin Durant and switched on the weakest screen of all time set by Draymond Green. And he did it time and time again. And you saw it when, like I said, he choked against the Mavericks. So there are those comparisons. Like, I think they are both overrated in the realm of what we're trying to talk about.
Oh, I absolutely agree 100%. And this is what I, you know, if you want to compare, give me a second here. I'm going to be a little long-winded on it. But, okay, LeBron, to me, reminds me of a lot of like a Peyton Manning, where Peyton Manning was arguably the best player, best quarterback ever. You know, they talked about it all the time, and he didn't win a ton of Super Bowls. I mean, what did he win, 2 or 3? I think 3. He wins 3 Super Bowls. And, you know, there you go. I mean, he's one of the best we've ever seen. You know, he's fantastic. Big moments, kind of shrinks. And by the way, there's another guy that outplays him at times. I mean, when you look at LeBron's career, when the cards are even, he doesn't win all the time. I mean, you can cry if you're a fan of LeBron all day you want and say, well, the Warriors were stacked. Well, if you can't complain when you say Steph's not that good and, you know, Kyrie's better. Remember, that was the whole thing. Well, if Kyrie's better, well, then it's even, right?
He's only even on a flat surface.
You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line is this. You know, and we got to add a wrinkle to the Michigan State stuff. I'll do that right now. Cassius Winston is not going to be considered by many as like one of the greatest Spartans. But the thing about Cassius Winston is when you needed him to make a play, you needed him to win you a championship, he's able to do that. Big Ten tournament against Michigan. Last game of the year against Michigan. Takes the game over. Against Duke. Takes the game over. Where Rocket Watts or other players are more talented, but they can't win the game like Cassius Winston can. You know, and that's where you come into the next level of it when you really want to talk GOAT and greatest and this and that. Tom Brady is like Kobe hovering close to Jordan, and I think Patrick Mahomes will be Michael Jordan. Or I think Patrick Mahomes is going to win 2 in a row, and I think he's going to win another one, and they're going to keep putting pieces around him that are just kind of fit for him, and he makes them better. And I think he will be the best. I mean, I think this is a great step forward for Patrick Mahomes to say, give me that crown, 2 in a row, and I beat Tom. I think this is perfect. Oh, by the way, without offensive linemen. Great opportunity for his legacy. And I would not be surprised at all if it happens. Tom has been amazing. You know, the rings are there. Kobe had 5. Rest in peace. This is the day we lost Kobe. Kobe, one of the greatest players ever. One of the most skilled, winner, 5 rings. Michael Jordan, 6 in a row. I think Patrick Mahomes, when the moment is big, and he has, I mean, look at last game, Tyler. I mean, his toe, he's hurt. He was unbelievable. I mean, he just said, give me the ball, and I'll play on 4 toes that are working well on this foot. And that's Jordan-like. That's Kobe-like. That's, I'm going to get the job done. So I think Aaron Rodgers is not on that level. He's just not. Russell Wilson is not on that level. Nobody else is on that level besides Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. And Tom's done it for a long time, but I think Patrick Mahomes has that in his DNA. What did he just say the other day? He said, you know, what's going to make you, you know, you had an MVP already. You won last year. What's going to make it better? Well, we got to win again. I mean, this guy has the competitive DNA where LeBron James has just never had that. You know, he might be getting a little more of it towards the end of his career, but he's never had that fully like those guys.
Yeah.
You know,
look, you can look at numbers and metrics and all that crap all you want. You look at selective defense when he goes to guard Kevin Love as opposed, or excuse me, when he throws Kevin Love on Kevin Durant and he goes to guard Draymond Green, who is not going to be the one taking that shot. You know, look, that's not competitiveness, you know. If you want to guard him that bad, the dude is 20 feet behind the three-point line, 15 feet behind the three-point line. Just go under the screen and meet him on the other side. It's not that hard of a concept. And so you've got to have that competitive nature. Look, that's something that no, this Michigan State basketball team hasn't shown.
Well, let's just say Michigan State Tom Brady proved in his last year at Michigan, this guy behind me is way more talented than me, but I will win the game for us. I mean, if they would have left him in the Michigan State game that year, maybe it's a different scenario where Drew couldn't do anything. And then the second half, Tom let him back, and that should have been a blowout. Yeah. Michigan State was killing him. And well, that just says,
let's just be real.
Greatness.
Okay. Plaxico has Tom Brady's number. Period.
Right. Period. I mean, well, that's why, you know, look, is my, you know, to give another shout out to Kobe, because, gosh, it's just so sad. And I miss Kobe. I loved Kobe at the end of his career. I wasn't a huge Kobe fan at first. Yeah. Of course, I'm the Jordan guy, you know, and he's the next Jordan, right? But Kobe was the guy who, as great as he was, I love him, and I love what he did off court. The other guys did win on his watch a little bit, and it was hard for him. But what he did with Pau Gasol, Ron Artest, Meta World Peace, Lamar Odom, he transformed those careers for those guys. And that's kind of what Patrick Mahomes is doing. You know, look, I love Tyreek Hill, but would Tyreek Hill be the same player without Patrick Mahomes? I don't think he would be. He's great. He's unbelievable. But you got to have a guy that can get the ball quick to you. You got to have a quarterback that can move around
throw
and find
it
you.
As far
and that's what Mahomes
as,
does.
They
I don't
throw
think
it as
guys,
fast as you can run, more or less, to try to.
I don't think Travis Kelce would be the same. I don't think he would be the same tight end without Mahomes. I mean, you give him Matt Stafford, he's not the same player. No way. You give him Aaron Rodgers, I don't
think
he's the same player.
Aaron Rodgers just doesn't. I mean, I think he underutilizes tight ends, period. But, yeah, I mean, all of that's good stuff, and we will – I mean, we obviously recap this and talk about that competitiveness. Look, Michigan State needs to find it. They play Rutgers. That's pretty much the next game. We'll recap everything else on Monday. But who you got? No.
Super Bowl?
No, the Michigan State Rutgers game. Yeah.
Thursday? I think Rutgers, I mean, I think what's going to happen is this layoff's going to hurt them, man. I think it's going to do the same thing to Michigan. I think you'll see Michigan drop a few because of this as well. Rutgers has a little confidence. It's just bad timing. Any other day, any other time, no, I think Michigan State's better. But, Tyler, I think this is a crusher. I think it killed Michigan State in football this year because they weren't prepared. And they needed enough, you know, more time, and they needed some non-conference games. I think it killed Michigan football, where they needed non-conference games. They needed more field play, you know. I think it's going to do the same thing for both teams in basketball, where I think you're going to see Michigan struggle and State Thursday. So, look, I'm pulling for State to win. I just don't think it will happen.
You cannot lose to a Rutgers team that's completely fallen off the map. You can't do it, especially when, you're on tournament life support, unless – you're able to get a couple wins against Iowa, a couple against Illinois. But I don't think that's going to happen. So this is a must-win for Michigan State. I think they pull it off. You know, they have a little more comfort at point guard. You lost a lot of pieces, but you do get Rocket out there. He is one of your more talented players. We saw how special he could be last year. I think Michigan State pulls it off. They're the one team to shut down Harper. They still have those bodies like Henry, Malik Hall to throw at him. Julius Marble, if you need to throw a ox at him. I think that Michigan State's able to win this game.
Yeah.
But that does it for us today. We'll be back next week on Trouble with the Snap here. We'll be back.
We have games.
Yeah. We'll be back next week on The Lab. Because we need to talk the Super Bowl, and I think that the Super Bowl is going to be one for the ages. And I'm just so stoked about that. So we'll be covering both of those next week on the proper formats. And as always, You're listening to Trouble with Snap Podcast
Yep.
for Jeremy Pha. I'm Tyler Hayward.